Now baby, baby, don't you cry. Mama's gonna make all of your nightmares come true. Mama's gonna put all of her fears into you.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of A Really Good Podcast with Greg and Liz. And today's episode, I think, is going to make me and a lot of people listening feel really good about themselves.
Yeah, you know, you should feel good about yourself. Well, let's say Happy Mother's Day to all the mommies.
Happy Mother's Day.
Is it weird if I say mommies?
Yeah, yep.
It's creepy a little bit.
Super creepy. At least you're not like a grown adult referring to them as mommy and daddy, because that's no offense to anyone who does that.
Yeah, my mother used to call my father's dad, my Pepe, daddy. And I used to be like this,
her father-in-law she called daddy? That's weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
And then she would kiss him on the lips. And I was like, I am so confused.
Is there something going on there?
Well, me and my sister would look at each other and be like, that's not for us. Because we're very like anti
no, I know.
Affection.
I was just talking about that last night, about how we're very weird about affection with family members.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Not for
me. So let me tell you something. In my line of work, I want you to know something too. A lot of the moms out there can feel like they're not doing enough. They're not good enough. All these things. A lot of mom guilt.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of that stuff.
A lot of mom guilt.
But I want you to know something. I see a lot of kids in here, and all any of them want is not a perfect mom, not like a mom that's nice all the time, not a mom that's like always losing her mind. They don't want any of that. They just want a mom that wants to be a good mom.
Yeah.
So if you want to be a good mom and you're worried about it at all, you are a good mom.
I agree with that. My philosophy has always been, if you care enough to care, then you're probably doing a good job. Like, bad moms, I don't think, worry about being a bad mom.
They
think they're doing a great job.
Yeah, like, even when we did the Cool Moms episode, like, Kelly's mom wasn't like, man, maybe I shouldn't be wasted by this pool.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm wasted by this pool.
Quit being such a downer about it. Yeah. No, you're totally right about mom guilt. You know what's funny? I was cleaning out my garage yesterday and I found my notebook that, like, for a period of time in COVID, I was writing in a journal. Over the course of my life, I've had probably about 30 journals, and I usually get like 2 or 3 entries a piece and that's the end of it. But just reading through it, and it was like, oh my God, I lose my temper, blah, blah, blah. And this was like April 15th.
Yeah.
So this is like, I've spent an entire month with a 5 and a 3-year-old trying to do homeschooling, doing all this stuff. And it was just a whole laundry list of things that I felt like I was doing wrong. And looking back on it, it was like, I did a great job. I took them for hikes. I was like doing everything I could do.
COVID made us all fantastic parents.
Yeah.
Except for me, because I was still working. But the thing was, I remember, I've had moments like that too. I'll be putting the kids to bed at night and I'll literally write on my hand, be nicer tomorrow. And like hope that it stays there, because it's like, I want to be nice, but then they just do something.
Oh, they're
and
so annoying.
Like, what are you doing? Or, you know, I just told you not to do that. You just, they put their clothes in the laundry, but their like underwear's all tangled up in their pants. And I'm like, I've literally told you that every day of your life not to do that.
That but, seems like a pretty low scale thing for a child. You should be nicer about that.
And I know, that's why I wrote it in my hand. But on the other side of that, though, is it really too much to ask to
know? I know. I got into a fight with Dylan last night. She wouldn't share a popcorn with me. And I just didn't want to put my hand in the thing of popcorn because it's got the butter on the sides. It's gross. And I was like, can't we just leave it in the bag and then I'll eat out of your bowl and then we can refill? And she was like, no. And she actually grabbed the popcorn out of my hand and I threw the bowl. I had a little snapping moment and then I was like, I'm out of here. And I went upstairs and Tucker came home like 20 minutes later and he was like, what happened? And I told him, and he was like, yeah, they said that you knocked the bowl over. I was like, no, I threw the bowl. He goes, well, I think that you knocked the bowl over. Yeah, I was like,
let's go with that story.
Perfect.
Did you write on your hand, don't throw the popcorn?
No.
Tomorrow?
I know.
Hey, look, no, these are the moments that you have. You got yourself out of the situation. And by the way, it's your popcorn.
It's all yours. Like, share. I share with you all the time. You take everything of mine.
I have a weird thing about that, too. Like, I can't put my hand in a bag of chips.
Yeah.
All the way. I need to have it in a bowl. Because I don't like the feeling, like if a grease touches my arm or something, it's
like
over.
It was just messy and I didn't want to deal with it. But anyways, today we're talking about, what did we decide on the title of this one? Not the worst mom?
You're not the worst mom.
You could be a better mom, but you're not the worst mom.
There are worse moms than you out there.
We'll work on it. Yeah. We'll spitball it a little bit. But yes, we've each come up with a list. This is a little fun actually, because we didn't tell each other what our lists are. I think some of us may have done more research than others. I'm not going to say who, but...
I did little to no research. I thought of 5 mothers in my head and wrote them down. I mean, the amount of research is honestly, I want to say, like, under a minute.
I did more than that, okay? Yeah. But that's not surprising at all. But we'll just go off the cuff. We'll see what happens. As long as, hopefully I know what they are.
You'll know who they are.
I would assume that I would know what they are. So should we get started?
You could go first.
Okay. First one right off the bat, an easy one, Stifler's mom. And Tucker and I actually had a disagreement about this because he said, is she a bad mom? And I was like, well, she had sex with her teenage son's friend. Yeah. And he was like, there are worse things.
Does that make her the best mom ever?
Not to for somebody. Her child.
No, not for her child. Yeah. So Shipbreak, what was his name again?
What?
Shipbreak, that was his name.
I don't know.
Finch?
Finch, yeah. Yes.
So he was 18?
He was 18, yeah. It was their high school graduation.
Yeah.
Still unacceptable.
Very unacceptable. And you know what? I gotta be honest, and this is gonna take some heat. I'm not into Jennifer Coolidge. She annoys the shit out of me.
Really? I think you've said that before.
Yeah, she doesn't do it for me. And those American Pie movies, though, very important.
Yeah, those are great.
That's an episode all
on its own. For sure.
I tried to watch it with Jack and I was like, oh, you can't.
You tried to watch it. That's crossing the line.
He's 16.
I know, but like, I'm 40 and I don't want to sit and watch someone jerk off on TV in front of my mom.
That's such a good point. Or have sex with like pastries.
Yeah. Think about how many like uncomfortable conversations that can spark, you know? Yeah.
So why is Stifler's mom a bad mom fundamentally for you?
Well, she has a quote that I wrote down where he comes in and she says, I got some scotch. And he says, single malt. And she said, aged 18 years, the way I like it. And that was the line I said to Tucker that he was like, okay, maybe she's not a good mom. Like, that's pretty inappropriate. But I don't know. I just think if you're having sex with your children's friends, no matter what the age, if you're 60 and you're having sex with your son's 40-year-old best friend, it's still weird. Yeah. It's still not being a good parent.
And she's a little too sexual.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I who am I to judge? But like, Stifler's obsessed with sex.
Yeah.
Where do you think you got
also,
that?
Also, let's talk about the fact that she has about 150 teenagers getting drunk at her house.
Mm-hmm. So, cool mom
for sure.
That's like the peak cool mom is like, everyone can hang at my house and maybe have sex with me.
Put your keys in a bowl and maybe we'll pick them out and have a swingers party later. Yeah.
Everything's on the table. This is the top cool mom position. Oh, so all right. So we missed her on the Cool Moms episode.
Yeah. All right. What's your first one?
All right. We're going to me right away, huh?
We went to me first.
Okay. I don't know if I'm sure you know who this person is. Actually, I'm positive you know who this person is. And the only reason why I call her out as a bad mom is because she stole the name of our podcast.
Oh, Bobby Altoff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Right. Now, this person might be one of the most annoying human beings on the planet. I'm trying to understand how she became famous out of the blue.
They think she's a plant. So they think she's an industry plant because she, like, her first interview was, like, Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
Like, and how the f*** does that happen? We've been putting in the work.
I know.
And we can only get my friends. Not that you guys aren't great, but...
Yeah, like, how do we have any enough clout to be like, you stole the name of our podcast?
Well, I mean, to be fair, we did come out first, but it was only about 3 weeks before she came out. So I think that there was probably something in the works. And to be honest with you, I feel like we were actually really shocked that it wasn't taken.
Yeah.
I got all the like websites and everything. But wait, so why do you think she's a bad mom?
Okay. So the other day I'm on the reels, right? Old man TikTok is what my son calls it.
Where you watch everything on TikTok 2 weeks later.
Yeah. Mine's just all like kettlebells and everything. And because I'm like.
Mine is all people reacting to Taylor Swift songs.
Okay, yeah. But I come across this Bobby Altoff. And she is in a limo with Young Gravy pouring shots down her throat. And I'm thinking, you know, here's a woman. She was married and then she gets famous and she like divorces her husband. And now she's like all over the world with these celebrities getting drunk. And now can you get drunk? Is that make someone a bad mom?
No, definitely not.
To be on the internet, I don't know, having shots poured down your throat by Young Gravy. That's bad.
The thing that's weird about it is that she was like a mommy blogger. She was a mommy Instagrammer or whatever, and then she blew up and then she's getting divorced. He might have actually filed for divorce from her, but do you remember there was all that weird stuff about Drake?
Yeah.
So there was all this stuff about her allegedly cheating with Drake or something like that, and the time that he listed the separation is the same couple weeks that Drake episode aired.
Yeah.
So, and they're like in bed together, which... I'm going to be honest, like, that's inappropriate.
Wrong with that. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
That's a problem, right? That's bad mom. And, you know, ever since the podcast took off, where's the baby? We haven't seen the baby.
There's a couple. I think she's young too.
Can I ask one more question about her?
Yeah.
Every time I see her, I don't know if it's like an optical illusion, but is there like one boob that's massively bigger than the other one?
Well, she did have like a newborn, so she could be breastfeeding.
And that could happen.
Because sometimes the baby will latch more on one side and that side will overproduce and the other side won't.
Learn something new every day.
You know, you'd think you would have learned that perhaps earlier.
I haven't crossed that in my journeys. Yeah.
You've been around a few breastfeeding people, I'm sure.
I have, yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's tough for me because I think that you only see a very small snippet of it. So especially if she is going through a divorce, that maybe it's her off weekend and she can go and hang out with Young Gravy.
You're right. I guess you're right.
That's not where I would be. I'd be like in an apartment by myself.
We saw this go down with Brittany. It's like, that's evidence in a court.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going through, like, you know, here I am pushing the baby in a stroller. Yeah. Right? Here's the guy. I'm being the guy. Yeah. And here she is with Young Gravy. I mean, I think they were, like, doing some kind of hallucinogenic drug.
Okay.
Yeah. So, well, you know, whatever. I mean, and I just don't like her.
Yeah, I think that's more of it. Yeah. Because we can't shame moms for having a good time.
No. Minus sans Bobby Altoff. Which we can. And I hope she hears that, because maybe that'll draw some attention to the podcast.
I know. We still haven't gotten any of her overhang. Yeah. All right. Number two, I have Zinnia Wormwood, a.k.a. Matilda's mom, Matilda Wormwood.
Yeah.
So have you seen the new Matilda, the musical?
Yes. Great dancing. Okay.
It's actually it's very enjoyable. So first up, they start out and she finds out she's pregnant, and then it launches into a Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People song, a.k.a. about the birth of her child. Okay. They find out it's a girl, furious about it being a girl, refuse to call it a girl, call it it, and then call her it. Right. Here I am calling it it. Call her it. And then they just keep referring to her as a boy, which is inappropriate, you know? And then she, if you notice when you watch the movie, places zero emphasis on education. She like hates that Matilda reads. She's mad at her about it because women should only be beautiful and land a husband.
Yeah.
And that's her whole MO. They also, in the books, I believe, or maybe the first movie, she's obsessed with American television, which like that in and of itself, in any social media, if you are obsessed with American television, you're just a trash bag.
Now, is that like a European?
Present company included.
Yeah. Is it like a European point of view?
I believe it was British.
Vile Americans.
Yeah, really. I mean, America, we're gross.
Uh-huh.
If you ever have gone and eaten fast food in another country, it's shocking. At Subway, they don't even give you chips. You just get the sandwich and the drink.
You can't get a footlong cookie.
So there's that. And then the fact that she eventually is just like, all right, you can go with Miss Honey. We're done with you.
Yeah, Karen. We're done with you.
She just like writes her off and lets her go.
But in the end, they do, writing her off to go with Miss Honey is actually their first sort of nicety that they did for Matil.
It's a kind of a low bar. Yeah. It's like, it is a good thing, but it's essentially just like, I recognize I'm such a bad parent that they're better off doing literally anything else. Did you know that, what was her name? The little girl in it. Maya,
the original Matil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Matil.
Yeah.
Her mom had cancer when they were filming that, and Danny DeVito took care of her the entire time, and actually, because he was the director, and he actually got her mom a special screening of it so she could see it before she died.
Oh my God, that's the saddest story I've ever heard. That's a great nugget.
I know.
Good job. Yeah,
that's great. I saw it. It was in a meme.
Okay. I couldn't love that guy more anyway. Like, I'm a huge Sonny fan. He's just perfect.
He's the best.
Comedic genius. Twins. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh my God, that's one of the best.
Not to be confused with Junior, the one where Arnold Schwarzenegger was pregnant.
You almost did an Arnold voice there by saying Arnold.
That's a hard last name.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, so now I'll take one. Ready?
Yep.
Have you ever seen the classic movie Good Son?
Yes.
We've got Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, you've talked about it like every other week.
This is one of my favorite movies. It's so much.
I dropped you, do you think you could fly? That one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And like dropping, there's so many things, like shooting the dog with like a, I don't know, some kind of weird pellet or whatever, killing the dog.
Yep.
Dropping dummies onto the highway.
Yeah.
Just this little sociopath that no one else knows he's a sociopath except for Elijah Wood. So Macaulay Culkin's a sociopath. Elijah Wood is.
I think we all would have been tricked at that point because Macaulay Culkin was an angel.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the story is that Macaulay Culkin had a little brother and the little brother died in the bathtub.
How? She left him there?
Well, what happened was Macaulay Culkin was supposed to be watching him for a little bit. And when the mom came back,
So he killed him?
Yes.
Wow.
So when his cousin comes to
visit... It feels like we're pinning a lot of this on the mom, though.
Well, hold on. This mom's put in a precarious situation. This is going to be one of those questions where it's like nature versus nurture. Is blood thicker than water?
Yep.
Kind of thing. You know that saying, blood is thicker than water?
Yeah, you just said it.
Okay. See, but you've heard it, right?
Yes.
And what does that sort of mean to you? Like,
it means that your family is more important or closer than just random people, which I don't agree with. Mm.
So you shouldn't agree with it. Because that quote has been hijacked and misrepresented. Yeah. The real quote is, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. Yeah. So what it means is, what that person was trying to say, and the before like people misrepresented this, is that the friends and the people that you choose, the blood of the covenant, is more important than the water of the womb, than your family. Oh, so it's really
like
saying
blood brothers.
Exactly.
Like when you cut your palm and you shake hands, that's tying you to each other.
That's way more important.
Me carrying you for 9 months.
So the mom's going to be put in that kind of situation, right? So throughout the movie, you're seeing like, this kid's already killed. He's already taken one life. And now Elijah Wood has to move in there because his mom died.
Yep.
Freaking sad story.
Did Macaulay Culkin kill her too?
No. Like through the
mail? Not that we know
of. It was in a different, unless it was like anthrax through the mail or something. He didn't. And what happened was, so now Macaulay is doing all these little things that only we can see and only he can see. And he's trying to convince everyone that's like, this kid's psycho.
Yeah.
And he slowly kind of like reveals himself. And then in the end, the mother, for whatever reason, gets herself in this precarious situation where she's dangling them both off of a cliff.
That's like the one thing I remember from the movie.
And so she has to look. And Elijah Wood has to, like, make his case on the fly.
Yeah.
To be like, this kid killed your baby, and he's trying to kill me, and he'll probably kill you.
Yeah.
And she has to, she can only, for whatever reason, can't hold both of these eight-year-olds forever. Yeah. Can't pull them both up. She has to let one go, and she lets go of her own son. Bad mom, question mark?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Because I think that he was obviously a tortured soul. Mm. And I think probably the best thing that she could have done is probably put him out to pasture.
I think so.
You know? So she maybe she's a good mom.
All right. So she's a good person, bad mom.
Yeah.
She's 0-for-2 with kids.
Well,
I mean, I hate to say that.
I don't know. I feel like once again, you're putting a lot of this on the mom.
So is she technically, now that Elijah Wood's mom is dead, she is sort of de facto mom.
Yeah.
So she's good mom to Elijah Wood.
She's good mom to Elijah Wood.
Bad mom to Macaulay Culkin.
I feel like there's so much trauma happening here. Like somebody's going to get fucked up in the long
movie,
term.
What a movie, though.
Right?
What
you just
movie.
Wanted to talk about this movie, didn't you?
I shoehorned it in there. Yeah. I did shoehorn it in there.
All right. My next one. All right. Let's see. What do we got here? Hold on. I was looking at the wrong thing.
Who's not prepared now?
Oh, stop it. All right. My next one. The moms of 90210 besides Cindy.
Okay.
So I'm going to just do a little run through of the moms of 90210. Cindy Walsh, obviously a great mom. Always is making vegetables for dinner. That's how you know. If you have a bowl of fruit on your counter, like you're a good mom.
I bet you the house stinks.
What do you mean?
My neighbors used to always cook like vegetables and I'd be like, this is disgusting. Be cooking beans again.
I wish you guys could see the face I'm making right now. That's absurd. But, so first off, Jackie, if you want to hear about my thoughts on Jackie, we talked about her in the Cool Moms episode last year. I'm going to just skim over that and go on to the next ones. All right. First up, we have Steve's mom, Samantha Sanders. She's a movie star. Okay. Very emotionally unavailable. Also adopted Steve and didn't tell him, but told everybody on her set. So the main star of the show, Mikey, ends up being the one that tells Steve that he's actually adopted. Which is poor. I mean, if you're going to keep it a secret, keep it a secret. Don't go around and tell. I know. So then we have Felice Martin, who's a fucking mess, okay? Complete hypocrite. She does this whole, like, preaches about waiting until marriage. Meanwhile, she got knocked up in college before she was married.
Whose mom is that?
Donna's.
Oh, Donna Martin.
And then she had a very public affair in the hotel where Color Me Bad is staying at. And then Donna was dating Ray Pruitt and Felice tried to pay him off with a check to get him out of her life. Which, to be fair, he did throw her down a flight of stairs, so maybe that was a good one.
Now, did you have to research this? Is it just all in your head?
This is all in the head. Yeah. All in the head. I'm not done. I mean, this is really for the people that are listening. This isn't for you, but they'll appreciate it. We have Iris collecting crystals in Hawaii while her 16-year-old recovering alcoholic son is living in a hotel by himself. Even after his dad gets gets blown up on a boat right in front of his eyes. She still doesn't, barely even comes to visit. She might have come to visit, but it was short-lived. She went right back to Hawaii. Then we have David's mom. God bless her. Lives on the street because of untreated mental illness. I mean, probably because Mel Silver is a dog and cheated on her a bunch of times. But yeah, she was living on the streets of Seattle, I believe it was, because she was not treating her mental illness. Mm. You know, you gotta take care of that. Then we have Val's mom. So this is an interesting one, okay, that you'll actually appreciate. So Val, her dad, when she started out, it turned out that her dad killed himself. Like, that was the whole storyline. She moved out to 90210 because her dad killed himself. Turns out her dad was actually sexually assaulting her for her whole childhood, and she ended up shooting him.
Whoa.
Now, we find out later in the series that Val's mom knew about it the whole time she was getting sexually assaulted, and then when she found out that Val was the one that killed him, she threatened to turn her into the police for it. Now, a fun fact, though, maybe not fun, but I thought it was interesting. I put this together last night. She was played by Michelle Phillips from The Mamas and the Papas.
What?
Yeah. Val's mom was played by Michelle Phillips, who was married to John Phillips, who I don't know if you ever heard about this, but he had a 10-year-long affair with his daughter, Mackenzie Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
And Michelle Phillips, it was not her mom. She was married to him later. She had other children with him. But she basically denied the whole thing and said she was really embarrassed that she came out with it. She said Mackenzie shouldn't have come out on TV with it. She should have been on a psychiatrist's couch, and she doesn't necessarily believe that.
Wait,
it's true.
Is John Phillips her biological dad or no?
Mackenzie's dad, yes.
He's her, the biological dad had an affair with his daughter.
Yes. Well, affair in quotes. That's what she kind of called it. She said it was basically, I'm pretty sure she was like an adult. It was like almost not consensual, obviously, but it wasn't viewed in the same way as like.
They had sex?
Yeah. For 10 years. They had a sexual.
With his daughter.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that. That's like. Why are more people not talking about that?
Yeah, she came out and said it, and but how weird is it that Michelle Phillips essentially played the same role in real life?
You know what's interesting is that's another band that's like really incestuous and all sexual.
I was thinking when I was reading about it that we could totally do.
Yeah,
they're
very similar to Fleetwood Mac, which is terrible.
Mama Cass, really?
Mama Cass is interesting. Beautiful voice. Yeah.
All right, you're up next.
All right, so who's next here? Okay, let's do. Punky's mom.
Tucker actually brought her up last night. He goes, what about Punky's mom? Left her in a, what was it?
Grocery store
parking lot.
Yeah. Leaves this eccentric, young, lovable kid in a grocery store, never to be seen again. I mean,
She did come back in the reboot.
20 years later?
I know.
Like 30 years
later? And I'm pretty sure it was like an accident. I don't even think it was like on purpose. She like ran into her at that grocery store.
Yeah. And so maybe she gets word that she's living with some, I don't know, old man.
I know, right?
And is still fine with it. I mean, she's lived in, Punky had a tough go.
I remember when we watched that Punky, when we did the Punky episode, and like, I was just like sobbing watching the first episode because all I kept thinking was, how do you do that? How do you... And it's weird because, I mean, dads do it all the time, right? They pick up and leave and they, you know, nobody even really bats an eye at this point about
it. Well, I mean, if a dad did it and left the kid, like, alone, it's different, right? And if a dad leaves and the mom's still there, it's one.
Yeah.
Or if the mom leaves and the dad's still there, it's one thing.
I know. It's funny how they always say, like, you never hear about moms having a second family. And, like, there's a reason for that. Because, like, you could not do it. And I don't even think that most moms would want to. Like, I always say, if I had the ability to, like, have a spare apartment in the city, I'd be there by myself. Like, I certainly am not inviting anyone else, let alone having more children.
Well, the older I get, I realize, like, if this relationship doesn't work out, I am done. I'm a solo.
First of all, I don't believe that for one second.
Neither do I. Because it's not true.
That is not true, but, you know,
with the apps and everything.
Keep telling yourself that.
Yeah, so Punky's mom, what do you think about that? I mean, she thrived without her. Maybe Mrs. Cherry, what was Sherry's mom's name?
I'm not sure.
It was her grandmother anyway. Sherry, I mean, Sherry didn't have a mom either. No one had a mom.
Yeah.
Margo had a mom. I don't know.
Margo,
You know, it's kind of sad. I just
That's interesting that, like, Margo was, like, the rich kid and she was also the only one with a nuclear family.
I know. Sometimes it'd be like that.
Sometimes it'd be like that. Well, I mean, in and of itself, having a two income household is definitely gonna help.
I know, she was like, they were like all living in like this like slummy apartment, and Margo was just kind of like middle class.
Did Margo live there in the apartment in like the penthouse?
Yeah, she wasn't rich.
Like, no, but her dad owned the building.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
She was rich.
Yeah.
She would wear bows in her hair and like white dresses. Nobody's wearing a white dress unless you're rich.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it seems like Punky had some access to like feel free to choose her style.
The shoes. How is she getting multiple pairs of shoes?
I know Henry's like a freelance photographer. How many gigs is he getting? I don't know.
He wasn't a freelance though. He had a store.
He worked at Oh, he had his own store?
Yeah. In the episode when Henry falls in love, his high school girlfriend.
Oh, that's right. She was rich.
She was rich. Yeah. Yeah. She was jetting off to Paris.
I thought he worked.
She came in for a last minute passport photo.
Wait, where's the place that like, oh, I thought he worked at like JCPenney or something.
I mean, I don't think JCPenney.
Do you do that? Do you do the photos?
Oh, I do it at JCPenney always.
You keep it going. Like you're a woman of the 90s. You really are.
Well, it's more that you can get a Groupon for $29 and you get three digital images. So
yeah, and you're no laser? No laser. Now that's a sign of wealth. When you were growing up, when you got your pictures back, were there lasers behind you?
It was absolutely lasers. Oh yeah, of course.
There's like
except now now it doesn't even cost extra. Now you get like a full forest scene behind your kids. But they're like, do you want airbrush touch-ups? Do you want pimple removal? It's like, no, my kid is 7.
Yeah, why is he standing on a bridge? Did you take him on a bridge? Like, what is with all these backdrops? I know, laser.
It's a lot of full body shots, now.
Oh, yeah, which is weird.
Yeah.
You know? I just want them with, like, their pressed down hair and their goofy smile and, like, the glasses on a little bit crooked. Like, give me that back.
I wonder if they get a comb still.
Oh, my God.
Remember the comb?
And then when you're, like, what am I supposed to do with this? What, am I going to lick it?
The ship has sailed, although Dylan probably could use a brush through her hair most of the time.
A comb, I remember.
Yeah, it was 2 inches long.
Girls got that, too?
Yeah. I mean, I think girls would eat it more than boys.
That's true.
There's nothing you can do. If your hair's messed up, your hair's messed up.
Like, it's over.
You can comb it out and usually it'll be okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, I have Terry Shields, Brooke Shields' mom.
Okay. That's a great one.
So when Brooke was only 5 days old, her mother openly stated she wanted her to be active in show business, saying, she's the most beautiful child and I'm going to help her with her career. She divorced Brooke's father when she was 5 months old. Brooke told Drew Barrymore on her show that her mom didn't date after her divorce because she was in love with Brooke. So like her mom was just obsessed with her. Brooke appeared in a soap advertisement when she was 11 months old. When Brooke was 10, Terry commissioned a photographer, Gary Gross, to take nude photos of her for the Playboy publication Sugar and Spice.
Wait, when she was 10?
She was 10. She posed for Playboy. By 11, she played a child prostitute in the film Pretty Baby.
That's so disturbing.
A child prostitute. And she was 11. It wasn't like a 20-year-old playing a 10-year-old. There was all these cash generators. She did really highly sexualized advertisements for Calvin Klein. And then when she was 15 years old, she made the film Blue Lagoon, in which, have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I have.
She was like naked the entire time.
Yeah.
And they had like a body double for the sex scenes, but I mean, imagine how much that's going to fuck you. She still, to this day, they showed clips of it to her daughter, Rowan, and her daughter was like, would you have let us do that at the age of 17? And Brooke was like, maybe in the 70s, but not now. Like, she still doesn't.
She's like, normalizes it.
Yeah. And so her daughter was kind of like, that's really messed up. Do you see why that's messed up? And Brooke had to be like, finally, that was messed up. And she's like, and it was really hard for me because I spent my entire life justifying what my mom did and kind of taking the blame off her. Because even in the 70s and 80s, whatever it was, people were like, this is fucked up.
Under the mask of love. Like, I'm doing this for you because I love you. And this is like the opposite of acts of love.
Yeah.
I think your daughter be in a movie called Pretty Baby.
And be the pretty baby.
Yeah. And you're going to be the pretty baby. Blue Lagoon, let me tell you something about that movie. Sucked. I watched it when I was a kid.
I've seen it too. Yeah. It was not. But I would imagine if you were like a preteen or teenager at that time, it was probably like very sexually.
If you were her age.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned Drew Barrymore. They seem to have like a similar upbringing.
Yeah, they talked about that a lot. And actually, Jeanette McCurdy was on the show too. And she went through it with Brooke too, with Drew also, because they were saying how it was the same thing with, like, their parents.
Brooke Shields was partying at Studio 54 at, like, 12 years old.
Well, she did say, though, one of the things about her mom. So her mom was a raging alcoholic, and she had her first intervention for her when she was 13. She actually ended up firing her when she was in her 20s, and she had, like, an office space. And they actually moved her mom's stuff out while she wasn't there because she was such a disaster. She couldn't do it anymore.
The 13-year-old fired her.
Yeah. Wow. Well, no, I think she was in her 20s then. But she did say say one of the things that was good about her mom is her mom wouldn't leave her alone. She was obsessed with her. So when she went to Studio 54, her mom was with her, and she thinks that's a big part of the reason why she wasn't, like, Me Too'd, because her mom was always there, which, you know...
But she kind of was Me Too'd.
Yeah, by her mom.
Yeah, like, you know? That's the whole thing. Like, there was no reason for someone else to Me Too her when all the Me Too things are happening.
Yeah.
Like, how do we get this kid in the movie Pretty Baby? How do we get this kid naked in Blue Lagoon? Oh, her mom is just fine with it. I know. No need to Me Too.
Well, like, the Playboy, Sugar and Spice? Like, what was that?
There should be people just arresting people as they buy that.
I know.
Like, what kind of world was that different?
It really does make, I guess so. It really does make you think about if you really were to dig into it. I mean, look at Quiet on the Set, okay? We talked about this. That was in the mid-2000s.
I know.
You know better. We knew better.
And if they were watching that documentary 30 years ago, they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
What's the problem with all the foot jokes?
Oh, God. You know, it's funny. Like, didn't Brooke Shields and Tom Cruise have a beef about antidepressants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she said she took them after she had postpartum depression. And it's like, the fact that Brooke Shields is even as, like, well-adjusted as she is now speaks volumes about...
Well, as far as we know, well-adjusted. She's in a new movie, though.
Yeah. On Netflix. I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it, too.
Lou Diamond Phillips?
Who's that guy? Who's the other guy in there?
Lou Diamond Phillips. How old are you? It's Benjamin Bratt.
Oh, okay.
Also, her... little paramour in it is Chad Michael Murray. He plays like a younger man that she...
One Tree Hill.
Lucas Scott. Yeah, he like wants to ask her out, which I think that's kind of an insane age difference.
Yeah, no,
I'm
honestly...
sure she's like in her late 50s. Like, but actually, no, because he's like 42, probably.
She is... I don't know. She looks...
Maybe in her 60s.
Age. She looks... I don't know. She looks okay.
Well, if she was in Pretty Baby in like... In, like, the 80s, she would have only been, like, 10 years older than us.
Pretty Baby.
I know. Yeah. You didn't know about that?
No, I had no idea.
There's a whole documentary about her. I bet that would be a good deep dive.
Yeah, she's pretty parentified, right? She kind of had a, like, you know, her mom was a huge problem. It sucks when, like, the person that's charged with taking care of you is a huge problem.
I know.
Like, you're essentially in the world alone. It's almost like, would Brooke Shields have been better off being left in a fucking grocery store?
I don't think she would have been famous. She did say, though, her mom did become a problem because there's somebody, like, offered to kind of take her under their wing or a manager of someone famous or something, and her mom said no. And she was like, I think my mom put so much, like, of my looks and sexuality forward that I think if I'd had a chance, I could have been a more respected actor and not have that, like, those kinds of roles. But she was good friends with Laura Linney when she was younger, and Laura Linney said that her and Brooke would hide in dark rooms when Terry would come home drunk and would wait for her to pass out before they would come out of the room.
That sounds like a fun game.
Isn't that terrible?
It's terrible.
That's awful.
You know?
Being scared of your own parent.
Well, should I lighten us up a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's talk about... This is a mom in two movies, and she's a bad mom in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know who this lady is, but she's the mom in... Well, she's the mom of the two criminals in Goonies.
Oh, yeah. I saw this one.
And she's also the mom in Throw Mama from the Train.
Yeah, I did see this one, but I've never seen Throw Mama from the Train.
So. Oh, my God. So she's a terrible mom in Goonies. Not... Well, first of all, what's going on with Sloth? Did she give birth to him? Is that, like, what happened?
Is that
an accident after birth?
Does
or is
he,
that...
like, really look like that? No, right? That was, like,
no,
makeup?
That's, yeah, it's gotta be.
Okay.
Yeah. But if he does, we have to sort of be okay with that.
Yeah. Well, I think we definitely have to be okay with it if he actually looks like that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what are you gonna do? Everyone's beautiful in their own way. You are beautiful. Just cue in the Christina Aguilera song. That'd be actually really funny to, like, have that playing over, like, Chunk. You're beautiful, you know. Anyways, she raised a couple criminals and a mutant.
Yeah.
So that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Although he's a sweet mutant.
Yeah. I mean, he goes against her eventually,
she
right?
chains him to the ground and locks him away. Yeah. So that's really bad parenting.
That is really bad parenting.
It kind of reminds me of, like, you know, that happens sometimes. People chain people in rooms.
Yeah, it's called kidnapping.
And trafficking and all kinds of, it's terrible, right? So let's not do that.
No, I can't even, at one point I remember Crosby wouldn't stop leaving his room and he was like 3. And at one point I just was like holding the door shut because I was like, you have to stay in your room. And then I was like, this is horrifying. I'm going to traumatize this child. Like, I can't even do that. I wasn't even locking him in there. I was sitting outside the door.
No, I know. I do that too, where it's like, you kind of have to do that. Is this mean? I don't know. It's parenting. It's like question mark, right? She's also terrible in Throw Mama from a Train. If your kid wants to kill you, and it's Danny DeVito too. Danny DeVito and Billy Crystal.
Danny DeVito.
I mean, just great movie. And it's kind of like, it's a remake of an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Oh.
Where the idea is, like, say you and I we meet on a train and we both have like, let's say you want to kill your husband, I want to kill my mother or something like that.
Yeah.
We kind of like talk about that and we get like, we're having this
imagine
conversation.
How that would come up in conversation.
It would probably come up pretty quick because it's in the forefront of your mind, right? and then we would just be like, wait a minute, we both need someone dead, but they'll know it was us.
Oh, so you do each other.
You do each other.
Yeah,
it's almost like Horrible Bosses kind of plays on that too, where you do each other as bosses that way. There's no connection back to you.
Yeah, I could never kill someone though.
Those are two great movies. Actually, and this is, again, a lot of controversial stuff. Does Goonies hold up? Did your kids like it?
I haven't watched it with my kids.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I don't... I don't know. Like, I have a lot of movies to watch, Greg.
Goonies should be...
once again, when you watch these movies, there's swears, there's inappropriate comments. Mm. I got to answer questions about stuff. So it's like, and it's not like my kids are chomping at the bit to watch an 80s movie.
I know. It's slow.
You know?
It's slow.
You said last week that it was a slog to get through for kids.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's important. It's important to get it done.
I'm going to do Back to the Future with them soon. I actually have a list on here. I was thinking Mrs. Doubtfire might be a good one too. No?
Yeah. It's what? On my list.
Oh. Oh, today?
Today, yeah.
Yeah. Just go to it then. All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah, another.
You're not going to say Sally Field. You are such a mom shamer. Oh my God.
I'm not
yours aren't
that.
Even bad moms. It's They're just in bad situations.
He
brought a pony into the house, Greg.
I know.
Can you imagine if somebody brought a pony into your house? If somebody brought a pony to my yard, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
So,
Let alone their father.
So she sort of comes to the birthday party and she says, quote, you have all the fun and I get whatever's left over. She yells at Robin Williams, beloved Robin Williams.
As she should.
Yeah. So she, her whole thing is like, everything stops being funny after a few years. Like she,
correct.
And I get that. But don't you think, before it's just over, because Robin Williams is like blindsided by this whole thing,
because he's not a good husband. He would have picked up on the signs if he was a good husband.
You might be onto something there. But he's, so this is what I think for him. His focus has been so much on the kids and making their lives fun and happy that he sort of like lost sight of the importance of the relationship, which happens all the time.
Yeah.
But so he just needs to like have that sort of talk with his wife and maybe go counseling or something like that before you.
But like,
she had her eyes on Pierce Brosnan before any of this was going on. Okay. She's just waiting for something. She's
Let
waiting
me say
for
this.
A horse to
I'm
be
gonna
in
stop
house.
You right here.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's picture me and Tucker get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm in need of a nanny.
Yeah.
All right. I hire this nanny. She's great. She's wonderful. I find out a few months down the road, it is Tucker dressed in drag.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's completely unacceptable. Like,
that's traumatizing.
That's also borderline illegal, maybe?
Yeah.
You're violating the terms of your custody agreement. And like, yeah, he's fun and he's wanting to have fun with the kids, but you get the feeling that that's all he's doing is having fun with the kids. And you know better than anyone. If you have one parent that's like the only one doing the disciplining, that's a terrible place to be.
I know. Well, ironically, though.
He's a bad dad.
Well, slow down.
We're going to do a bad dads episode.
I had to find some bad moms. And
I think if you'd done a little more research into that, you would have realized that she's not
actually
a bad mom.
These are the bad moms in the forefront of my mind. And I'll tell you something. Here's something a little strange about her. After finding out this dark secret, it really is. I mean, this is a whole different like way to look at this movie where it's like a really dark movie. Like,
you know,
I've been sort of stalking you. I'm here. Yeah. I'm here when you think I'm not here.
You know,
but... Must have turned around a little bit.
Why? They didn't get back together.
I thought they did.
No, she let him be the babysitter for the kids.
They didn't get back together?
No.
She's with Pierce Brosnan.
Are you kidding me? You have a choice here. Pierce Brosnan, Robin Williams, no offense, but...
Very hairy.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
So humor doesn't conquer
all. I mean, humor,
all.
Like, Robin Williams, 100%, I completely understand why you would fall in love with him and want to have kids with him.
I don't know,
whatever,
it's a lot, though,
but,
right?
Like,
don't you think?
If you're done with him, you're over it, and then you have Pierce Brosnan over here, it's like, I don't think that was really even a
James
question.
Bond. Yeah, you know what I mean? GoldenEye.
And, like, he's charming.
Yeah,
he seemed like he was
British.
Whining and dining her, you know?
He doesn't watch American television.
I don't fault her at all for the choices that she made.
Here's something unrealistic. Sally Fields is not getting Pierce Brosnan.
No, for sure not. Sally Fields, I can't even, like, figure out what age she is.
I know. She is... She is pretty. Have you
because,
seen...
Because, like, she... When she was in Forrest Gump, she was old. But now she's old, so old.
Yeah. It's like when in my neighborhood growing up, there was Old Man Winstead, right?
Yeah.
And I remember he would yell at us for going on his dock. And then I remember one time Mike Burke's dad came down and he was yelling at us. And we were like, yeah, Old Man Winstead's losing it. And he's like, when I was a kid, we used to call him Old Man Winstead. And we were like, that was kind of like a mind-blowing moment. We were like, how fucking old is this guy?
Know.
You know what I mean? It's like 100 years old. Although Mike Burke's dad were like 15.
Yeah.
Remember, they were so young.
Yeah, they were.
They were so young.
Oh, man. All right. I got my last one. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a hot take that I actually kind of had to do a little in-depth research and figure out how I felt about it. Cersei Lannister.
Okay.
So, initially...
I didn't know you were a Game of Thrones person.
Oh, yeah. I love Game of Thrones.
All right.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, one of the things I've always thought about Cersei is, as horrible as a human being she is, she loves her kids. Like, yeah. That was kind of always in the forefront of my mind. Mm-hmm. But the more I kind of researched into it, you kind of realize that she looks at her children as an extension of herself. So, when people attack her children, it's almost like they're attacking her. Like, she never really regards her family as people. It's always just kind of how it comes through her. The reason why she loves Joffrey so much and she's so obsessed with him is because he's the heir.
Yeah.
And he's the one with the power. And then the other two, she's got two other kids. She doesn't really even pay attention to that. Were they even on the first couple of seasons? Yeah, I don't even know. In terms of like the extension of herself thing, the reason why they say that she even bones her brother is because it's the closest she can get to having sex with herself because it's her identical twin. Well, not identical.
Interesting.
But, you know, right?
Yeah.
So her desire to secure power and protect her own interests leads her to make choices that are harmful to her children. And her choices that she's made really end up being the reason why all three of her children die. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So you have Joffrey, who she never spends one second tampering down these inhibitions, if you will.
She let him be this animal.
And she kind of encouraged it. Like, she had no problem when Roz, the prostitute, when he like took her and put her up and speared her or whatever he did. And then the choice she made with Myrcella, you know, she killed Oberyn, and then as a retaliation, she sends Myrcella off and they poison her, and then she poisons that woman. So, you know, like, so she does that. And then she blows up the Sept of Valyr, and that causes Tommen, he's so horrified, he just throws himself out of a window.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like she puts on this show of caring about her kids, but in reality, it's all about her.
And the only person who starts to see that, like, arc is Jaime.
Yeah.
In the end, he starts to see her for who he, but he still can't resist her. He still ends up like, don't they die together?
Yeah, when at the very end, when Daenerys comes in with the dragon.
What a show.
I know, that was a show. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't even hate the ending.
I
do think that Sansa should have been the one to take over to win the Game of Thrones. Like, Bran, come on.
Yeah.
No.
You know,
no, he was a weak character, and I'm not even just talking about him being in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Just in general, he's like, oh, the three-eyed raven. That's all he did the whole fucking
boring.
Time. Like, his whole story arc was like, oh, this guy held a door for him. Like,
someone's
going to
drag him through the snow for four seasons.
I mean, I think that's the thing. That was my one issue about Game of Thrones, is Daenerys. Like, she was in the fucking desert for like three seasons. They could have toned it down a little bit.
She was a looker, though.
I wouldn't mind. I actually wouldn't mind going back through. I started watching Game of Thrones with captions on like three quarters of the way through, and it changed the whole thing because I could actually understand what they were talking about.
And see names and stuff, yeah.
And like see how they spelled everything and like what the words they were saying even
were. Yeah, that's super helpful. You got to go through that show a couple times to get it.
I know.
You know what's interesting is like Mother of Dragons, good mother.
Yeah.
She was a good mother. She took care of those dragons.
Until she lost her mind at the end.
That was my biggest complaint, is like they tried to make her lose her mind too fast.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't make sense. Like, all of a sudden she's so good, good. And all of a sudden, she's just.
They didn't
good.
Like. I mean, I think when, what was it, Missandei? Wasn't that her like servant girl?
Yeah.
When she was murdered, which was Cersei's fault.
Yep.
I think that like pushed her over the edge. But I think in reality, like, she was a pretty terrible mother.
Now, do you think love can transcend? Now, we're getting to something completely, because that one that you talked about, Missandei or whatever.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend did not have
penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an obstacle you think you can get through?
I think there's a lot more options now.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
Yeah, like, you don't have a lot of sex toys or anything. But no. I think options were limited. They were trekking across the desert. Mm-hmm. You know, she obviously had a connection with them. I think so, because I think that there are people that like never have sex in a relationship.
That's true. They figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you figure it out.
And I mean, think about all the like couples in the like 50, 60 years down the line. They're probably not like banging all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, that'll be actually like a relaxing phase of life too. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, that's over, because we're kind of like,
we're done with that.
Yeah.
No, it was like the finale of Vanderpump Rules, and Schwartz proposition Katie was like, do you want a one night stand, but we can just go back to the hotel and lay in bed together and scroll on our phones?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's, I mean, that's.
And then last thing that's not related, now you bring that up, is Ariana now the villain?
No. No, absolutely not. She set boundaries.
I think she is. I think she's like too much like, it's enough. You don't have to be friends with them, but let your friends be friends.
Here's the thing. If you go through and you watch the season, she only loses her shit like 3 times. Mm. And then all these other people, Tom Sandoval is over here crying like a baby every other episode. Everyone's flipping out about meh, 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 all this stuff. And Ariana's like, listen, I'm putting up a boundary. I don't want to have people in the same orbit. And she shouldn't have to do that. Mm.
But if she wants to be on the show, she has to do that.
But like, does she even want to be on the show at this point?
It looks like not.
It looks like not, because I think that they postponed it this summer because she's filming Love Island. She's the host of Love Island next season.
Really?
Yeah. She's doing another stint on Broadway for Chicago. She's filming Love Island. She's probably going to have an Applebee's partnership based on the finale when she kept talking about going to Applebee's.
She probably already does, yeah.
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 So,
because they're not going to Applebee's.
I say she's kind of just like, you know what? I think it's genuine of her. She doesn't want to talk to him. Everyone's like, it's so disingenuous. You have to have these truthful moments. But she's like, I don't want to have these truthful moments. I don't want anything to do with him. And he's the one who's trying to come and apologize just for a storyline.
No, yeah, it is a little disingenuous that like he had, she was right when she said, like, he could have left me a note. He could have done any of that stuff. Because that's true.
Like, Shishu, I don't know. She's just trying to make stuff happen. Brock is trying to wheel and deal. Brock in the last episode was like, oh, how did we even start talking about Vanderpump? In the last episode, he's like, oh, Tom Sandoval has been such a good friend to us. And then, like, 3 episodes ago, he was
like fighting.
Well, I know for a fact that you were the one that spread the rumors that I was banging Raquel, too. Remember?
Do you think he was?
No. Okay. It was started by Tom Sandoval to get the heat off of him. But anyway.
Take the heat off. All right, well, that'll do that.
Yep. Just a quick honorable mention, a really bad mom I wanted to talk about, which I know you haven't seen it, was Smurf from Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
You've never seen that show? It's a really good show. It's Ellen Burstyn. I think it's Ellen Burstyn is the woman in it. She basically raises her kids to run a crime ring with her. And then she kind of rejects her daughter, sends her off. Her daughter ODs and dies. And then she goes and collects her daughter's son and makes him join the crime ring. And they like occasionally kill people. But it's like surfers in Southern California.
That sounds cool.
It's actually a really good show. You should watch it. It's just a little too much murder for me. And yeah, so I think that mine were better bad moms than yours.
Thank you.
I think that you kind of went with what people think is a bad mom, but in reality,
some of them are pretty good.
Yeah. Sally Field is not a bad mom in Mrs. Doubtfire. So
Bobby Altoff.
That was out of left field. I was not expecting that.
I knew you'd like that one.
If anything, just to trash the woman who stole our podcast name.
Yeah, she did.
All right. Please rate and review. And yeah.
And that's it.
That's all we got. All right. We will see you next week.
Mother, you had me, but I never had you. I just gotta tell you.